America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The NFC North looks to be the strongest division in football.
I'm starting to envision this like war of conversations because Ryan Poles likes to be aggressive around the deadline.
Keep shooting your shot.
Get Wani up in here.
He wants to talk about the election, he told me. He said, who do you think is going to win the election?
Tell him to walk down the hall to BB.
He doesn't trust the polls.
I don't know if that's in our purview.
Hey, there's some people don't trust the polls either. You know, look at this roster he built. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That deserved a rim
shot. It really didn't. Okay. I'm sorry.
What's most important is that we stay united.
What many Americans believe will be the most consequential election in recent American history.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
Unburdened by what has been, you know?
Arnold Palmer was all man. When he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh my God, that's unbelievable.
Here's Chris Berman.
Election day tomorrow. Go out and vote no matter what the weather is. Make your voice heard. It's not only our duty, it's our privilege. Here we go with our fastest 3 minutes. Welcome to the soggy tundra of Lambeau Field.
Hey. Can I ask you a personal question?
What?
Who are you voting for?
Raymond Schneider.
You're voting for Raymond Schneider?
Yeah.
I have a proposition for you. I'm voting for Mayu. We kind of cancel each other out. You know, this line of, why don't we get the hell out of here?
I like it.
Huh? Yeah? Beautiful. Let's go.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. There is still a lot for us to do in the last hour of the show. We've talked a little bit about Quincy Jones today. Jason Leisure was in studio. If you use the rewind function on the Odyssey app, you can check out all of it. Wait until 6 o'clock, but then you can check out all of it.
Yeah, man. It's been a lot of cool stuff. I love that Jason was still hanging around in Arizona and here on the off day came to hang out with you in your home away from home out there. Anything, by the way, left in the hopper from your game day experience and hanging out and in post game in the locker room that we should get to? We got time later or got time tomorrow as well.
Yeah,
there's cool perspective, I thought.
There's a couple other things that we can add to the conversation of things that I saw, heard, and were told. Mm-hmm. For sure, that we could absolutely do that as this week goes on. I was actually talking with Mitch about it today. I think I'm going to try to do at least one more game from a media standpoint. And just because it's just a different point of view, and it's very much what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So I think at least one and maybe one more trip, depending on what the Bears look like.
Well, here. You know, it's interesting because, well, that'd be cool because you have the unique opportunity to be a traveling man as you are. Like seemingly all the time, Lawrence is out and about. But, you know, we both went to a game as a fan this year and brought that perspective. We're so used to bringing the television perspective. And then you as the former beat guy getting a chance to get out there and see it from the media perspective because, I mean, this whole league is talking about, you know, teams that are ramping up and teams that are ramping down. And that's very much where the Bears are at this point. Not the least of which because Caleb Williams has had a rough couple of weeks.
He has. And so that you know kind of where, I know that the afternoon show audience might not have heard me talk about these things on middays, but I wanted to kind of catch you up to kind of what my working thesis is when it comes to quarterback play in the NFL. My feeling is I would say probably, I mean, I guess maybe 20 years ago now, but somewhere in there in the last 20 years, I think that we saw a shift on the lowest levels of football, where when you would get the most talented athlete in a lot of these programs, it used to be when we were growing up, that guy played running back or that guy played wide receiver. Now, I think what's happened is that coaches have gotten wise and they said, well, if I have the most dynamic athletic player, I would like the ball in his hands more often. And I don't want to have to count on someone getting him the ball when I can just give him the ball on every snap and allow him to play quarterback and in some cases be the best athlete on the field and do that. And I think that we've seen a rise in that player making it to the NFL.
That's
guys
interesting.
Like Cam Newton or Alex Smith, for example.
So that's interesting. So does that coincide with the collegeification of NFL offenses and NFL GM's willingness to take chances with athletic and perhaps raw players in that role? Is that where's the chicken? Where's the egg?
I do think that like you're seeing more coaches kind of do the same thing, where if Cam Newton walks onto your campus, you're like, oh, well, I want that guy to have the ball as often as possible. And you do it. And I think that where before that quarterback was kind of labeled as ATH, like in scouting, now there's a whole section of dual threat. He's the number one dual threat quarterback in high school, or he's the number 10 dual threat guy, instead of just going, I don't know what position this guy plays. And I think that it's allowed some guys to make it to the NFL that would have been moved, like their positions would have been moved. And we're not that long, it wasn't that long ago that people were talking about moving Lamar Jackson to play wide receiver. Was it Polian who said that suggested that might be a place for him to be a great pro, is at the wide receiver spot. And now he's won two MVPs and might be on his way to his third at this year with the way that he's playing. So I say all of that to say that there are still some coaches that I don't know how to coach those players when they make it to the pros. And there are some quarterbacks that don't have enough experience of taking snaps from center, turning their back to the defense, working in play action instead of like zone read fakes. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that are still learning that when they get to the NFL level. And so it makes it so that coaches and front offices make snap judgments on what a player is. And then you end up seeing some guys have a renaissance later on in their career because they've had more experience, they've seen more things, they've been coached better. And then you have Geno Smith 10 years later being the league leader in passing yards in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that's all very well said and very sensible. And simultaneously, and like I was saying, chicken or the egg, you get the offenses getting sort of simplified on some level so they can be a little more quarterback friendly. And you get the concentration on trying to maximize the rookie quarterback's contract, because the salary cap, as affected by really paying your legit quarterback, usually after year three or year four at the most, changes the math and changes the possibilities of what you can do in the NFL. And we saw maybe the peak of that is when two quarterbacks on their rookie deals in Kaepernick and Russell Wilson were dominating the NFC. And like, we started to become wise to, oh, look what Seattle can do because Russ is on that deal. And then as soon as he got truly paid, that defense fell apart. Some by age, some by necessity.
Well, the front offices, though, to me, have been chasing that. And I think that they have, I think that that's leaked into our consciousness as football fans, too, of how important it is to make sure you're doing this in the first 4 years because of all the things where there are so many different ways to win.
Yeah, but don't you think that also a lot of those front offices in acknowledging that have now decided to be way more aggressive with playing time with that young quarterback? And when you look at it as a line item in that way, sometimes you cut bait real fast because you're like, you know what? Even though it was a first round pick, it's still a really cheap contract. And so let's find out as quickly as possible what we have here at the to the detriment of these guys' development.
Yeah. And I think that part of the problem is that you then bring in coaches who are not qualified to really teach and that they haven't. Because they've had, you know, a quarterback here, quarterback there that was so used to working out of like a pro style offense that it might be easier to move them along than it would be some of the dual threat guys that move in just because of the think about how many quarterbacks have never taken snaps from center. Mm-hmm. You know, Mitch Trubisky spent his entire 13 games in college in shotgun. So when John Gruden asked him during the QB school to go up and do a hard count, he has no idea what he's talking about. Like that's sometimes like the level of disadvantage that some of these guys, because they were the best athlete, they've been moved along, but they haven't necessarily learned all the tools. Now obviously, like when you're able to marry a couple of different styles and you're able to have great teachers, like clearly Andy Reid is that, and you take the air raid stuff that Patrick Mahomes was doing at Texas Tech and you add it to West Coast stuff that Andy Reid has been doing and you go, oh my God, look at what this could be when you have one of these that's able to move in that way. It was so funny, like watching last night's game. Do you remember the game that Baker and Patrick played in college?
Oh, yeah. It's a legendary game with like crazy high scores and unbelievable stats. What Mahomes throw 7 touchdowns in that game? Something like that.
Yeah, and I think he threw for like 750 yards in that game. And Baker, I think, threw for almost 600 yards in that game. So, and Baker's actually a really good example of this, too.
Yeah, of
another
course.
Dual threat quarterback that was taken number one and was thrown to the wolves too early. And now you look, you know, 5 years later of where he is after Cleveland decided that they were ready to move on. And he has become a pretty good overall quarterback.
Yeah, they combined for almost 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns with only one interception. Mahomes was 52 for 88 in that game in college. Well, look, this is great context for perhaps the afternoon listener who may not have heard you discuss it. And Lord knows I've talked about everything we learned while watching Mitch, everything we learned while watching Justin, and everything we've learned talking to quarterback experts. A different one every single year as we've been dealing with whatever iteration of young quarterback is trying to break in. And we've learned stuff from Kurt Warner. But I'm eager to hear this where Greg Olsen, who's obviously such a really, really good football mind, and a guy
and he's coaching young guys.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that he's seeing it at a bunch of different levels, similar to Matt Bowen. So here's what he was saying to Ryan Russillo about the problems of development.
There's the Cam Newtons of the world, right? There's the anomalies. There's the guys that had limited college experience. Cam played, you know, for all intents and purposes, 1 year at Auburn, never lost a game, won the Heisman Trophy, first overall draft pick, and then obviously became Cam Newton. So like there are examples of guys who have spotty, not a huge track record. But over the last couple of years, what we're seeing is the Brock Purdy's, the young players who are coming into the league and finding success and getting grounded and getting rooted, played 48 games in major college football. They threw 3 picks in a game. They lost. They won. They played in the rain. They had good days, bad days. They worked through a lot of the normal things that are going to happen at the quarterback position. The difference was instead of working it out on an NFL level as the number one overall pick or the first round pick or whatever pick you are, you work through it in Iowa. You work through it in Virginia, wherever. And it's just a different experience. That's going to happen. I don't care who you are at the quarterback position. You're going to have your ups and downs as a young player, and it's magnified because of the position. Your point about doesn't matter what anyone else around you is doing. If you're getting repeated poor play out of the quarterback position, you have zero chance of winning in the NFL. There is no sport more dependent on one position's success than the way current NFL football is set up. The entire game is, in most cases, put on the backs of a quarterback. And I think the teams that understand it, the Kyle Shanahans of the world and guys like that, yes, they understand the value of having a good quarterback. And when those teams do have good quarterbacks, the results speak for themselves. But when they don't fall off the face of the earth, because the entire system is not predicated on the success or lack thereof of the quarterback. So when you talk about Anthony Richardson, the style he's being asked to play is what they were doing to Jalen Hurts. He's in shotgun every snap. No one's moving. Stationary spread formations. I understand why he's in the gun, because you want to keep the quarterback run threat, but he gets hurt. So like asking your quarterback to stand in the shotgun, catch the ball and play and throw the ball every down is virtually impossible in today's day and age. But these guys don't learn to get under center. They've never taken an under center snap in their lives. Their entire lives have been 7-on-7 football. It's been passing offense. I coach middle school football here at my kid's school. Of the 8 games we played, 6 of the teams never one time lined up under center, never one time had 2 backs in the backfield, and never one time had a tight end. These kids just don't learn real football. And now we're seeing the evolution of football at the NFL level. The best teams, they get under center. It's play action. The reason they're doing that is because it takes the stress load off the quarterback. So I think there is a developmental problem in the whole pipeline of quarterbacks from high school to college and then, of course, to the NFL. We don't develop them and we don't give them the skills to succeed as the levels increase. And then we also haven't yet bought into the style of offenses that alleviate some of the pressure from the position. We want the entire game to be on their shoulders, and then we get mad when they can't handle it at 22 years old. So there is no doubt we have a quarterback problem in the NFL. I think a lot of it's man-made. You can't tell me that these guys aren't wildly talented. They need to be coached. They need to be developed. They need to be draining along in a way that's conducive to their confidence and to their success. And I just don't think as a league in general, we do a good job of that.
It's fascinating. It's Greg Olsen talking about young quarterbacks. A point he made early on about the years and games of experience. Bo Nix, who's having a nice season.
It's like 53 games, right, in college?
61.
Yeah.
61 games with 3 years at Auburn and 2 years at Oregon. Jaden Daniels, 55 games with 3 at Arizona State and 2 at LSU. Threw 10 picks his last year at Arizona State. Caleb Williams, 37 games and never had more than 5 picks. I'm not saying this is all the deal, but
he did
struggle. Yeah, for sure. But he did struggle. He did struggle a bit at USC, obviously, last year, and he talked about that as a good thing, that he had the opportunity to have some adversity there in his third year. But 61 and 55 versus 37, and it's also the additional extra couple years of practice, of training, of thinking, of watching tape, of being a teammate, all of it. It's interesting.
And with Jaden Daniels, like, they spent a lot. I mean, I know this for a fact. Like, they spent a lot of time early on at Arizona State just trying to put weight on the young man. Because I want to say when he walked in the door, he was 6'5", 175. And I think now he's up to about 210. But that was always a concern about, like, him physically, was he going to be able to hold up? And I think that the jury is still out on that with Jaden Daniels. It's one of my concerns about him as a QB. But what Olsen is saying about 7-on-7 culture, like 7-on-7 passing camps and all of these things, and a texter said, well, hey, well, what do you mean by, like, not taking snaps under center? The idea of being able to take the snap shot the survey of what the defense is, and then when you go to play action, having to almost turn your back to the defense, and then understanding where the route concepts are going to be, that takes a lot of reps to get comfortable. Quarterbacks start speeding up because they're not comfortable with it. And all of these guys have spent their time, you know, doing clap. They haven't, remember, Caleb didn't do an actual cadence because what they were doing was clap cadence. Like, all of that stuff plays a role in how this is developed.
Oh, man. And we've dealt with the last three quarterbacks, little moments like that in their first training camp. We're like, what? He's got to learn what? Some of the basics of footwork. Oh, let's. How does he control a huddle? What? He's never controlled a huddle? It's
how does
insane.
He call out a play?
Yeah. It, what's the terminology? I mean, how do you do it? There's more from Greg Olsen that we want to get to in our next segment. Let's stay on this conversation. Before Mike Martz got rid of him because he didn't believe that the future called for tight ends that were good at catching passes, down the middle of the field, he had some time with the Bears, and he related this quarterback issue to his time with the Bears. Looking forward to hearing that and continuing the conversation on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.